The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbontoni. Scientists say the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs struck in the spring.
And Tony Kornheiser, yeah. I remember it well. I was just finishing first grade. Yeah, a while back, but I remember.
You know, scientists, they need to be that specific. Does it matter to the dinosaurs that they were killed off in the spring or in October or in the dead of winter?
The only thing I could guess... Well, if there was FanDuel back then and there was an over-under as to what date the asteroid struck, that's all I can guess. Yeah. Welcome to PTI, boys
Drop
and girls.
Yeah.
In today's episode, we will discuss Kirk Cousins' future and whether baseball is roughing. And Kendrick Perkins joins us for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with the restart of the NBA season after the All-Star break. Tonight's most intriguing game is the Celtics at the Nets. The Celtics have won 9 of 10, and the Nets are still a shell of what they might be down the road. Kevin Durant is out, Ben Simmons not yet ready to play, and with vaccine protocols still in place in New York City, Kyrie Irving not allowed to play. Wilbon, which of these two teams are you more optimistic about?
Tom, first of all, the best game of the night involves the Bulls and the Hawks, but I digress. Tony, everybody's going to say Brooklyn. Everyone. Literally. If you ask 1,000 people, one of them would say outside of New England, would say the Celtics, and I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to make the case to be more optimistic for the Boston Celtics, who's won 9 out of 10. Tony dropped one going into the break. And the lineup they've put together with Tatum and Brown, of course, anchoring it. Marcus Smart's been there for a while. That's the nucleus. But Derek White, the point guard that they brought over from San Antonio, and now the maturation of Robert Williams at center, and he can do all of the things you now need your modern-day center to do when you don't have him touching it 40 times like Joel Embiid. It's a team. No one wants to talk about basketball team anymore. They just want to talk about big threes and super teams. And I know Brooklyn is the betting favorite. I got all that.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
to see a team that functions together where the guys know each other and don't have to introduce themselves to each other on March 1st. So that's my case for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, it's an interesting case. I'll completely dismiss it because I'll be Perry Mason and I'll win this case. I will say this one thing to you, that a couple of years ago when Miami reached the final, I really liked them because I thought they were a team. I thought they were a team, not a big three or anything like that. If the question is, who am I optimistic about, I think we have to define what optimism is. Mike, optimism is a spirit of hope. It's shedding that thing that is right in front of you and hoping for something different. The Nets right in front of us are 2-10 in their last 12 games. I'm more optimistic about them because it's hard for me to believe that with Durant, with Simmons, with Kyrie Irving, they can't turn that around. I think they're getting Joe Harris back. They signed Goran Dragic, who's a professional basketball player. They got Seth Curry. He's the lesser Curry, but he's a real good shooter. So my optimism is with them. It's not that I don't think Boston's real good. I'm not happy for Boston because I am. But I think Boston is now at almost at peak. So my optimism for them, because this is a story about in the future, my optimism for them is they're a better team right now than Brooklyn by a lot. But, but which am I more optimistic for? It's the Nets. It is.
Real quickly, there's one critical thing you said there. You talked about being at peak. I think that Boston is just starting to get there. They were the most disappointing team, arguably, in the league in the first third of the season, Tony.
You're right.
And, you know, I by the way, I'm going to lord this over everyone if it turns out that I'm right, that I've gone out on a bit of a limb and said the Celtics. Let's move.
You would be Isaiah Lord Wilbon. That's what you would be.
Let's move to the NFL and the always debatable status of Kirk Cousins. The Vikings quarterback is slated to make a guaranteed, get this, $35 million in the final year of his deal and has reportedly refused to renegotiate down. Earlier this week, Judd Zulgad of Score North reported that the Panthers have called the Vikings about making a deal for Cousins, but the Vikings have said no, at least for now. Tone, should the Vikes keep or trade Kirk Cousins?
So let me just go over this for a second. He signed the greatest guaranteed contract in the history of football. And I don't blame him for a second for not renegotiating down. I don't. He got that deal. Now let's talk about what we've got with Kirk Cousins. We got a 500 quarterback, Mike. His career is 59, 59, and 2. You can't get more 500 than that. He went to the playoff one time in 4 years with the Vikings. He won one. He lost one. 500. They take one step forward. They take one step back with him. But, and there's always a but, Mike, there's always a but, the division they're in stinks. Your Chicago Bears stink. The Detroit Lions stink. And if Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay and hands the team to Jordan Love, it's possible they will stink. So they can win. Minnesota can win the division with Kirk Cousins. I would not trade him. If you trade him to Carolina, you're Carolina. What are you getting back? Sam Darnold? Are you insane? So, no. I mean, the easier path to the Super Bowl is the NFC, especially with Brady out of Tampa. I would not trade him, would you?
No, I wouldn't deal him because what do you got? Don't tell me Sam Darnold. I don't want to hear that. So what do you got? And if I'm Cousins, I'm not renegotiating down unless they want to give me $50 million guaranteed over X number of years by coming to a friendlier cap number. Cousins' cap number apparently is like $45 million next year. And it's like, okay, you Vikings people, and it's the same administration, you signed him to this deal. It does not come as a surprise. Oh, my God, what's Cousins going to make this week? You know what he's making. And if I'm Cousins, I say no, because the NFL will cut you in a moment's notice, and they don't care about your money, because nothing is guaranteed unless they sign a guaranteed deal. If I'm Cousins, I'm telling them to take a walk, unless they want to give me $40 million or more in guaranteed over a certain period of time to come down to a friendly cap number.
I've got to tell you, anyway. It surprises me that they don't win more. He was the fourth-rated passer in the entire league this past season. Theoretically, they should win more, but they don't. We move on. Yeah. We go to baseball. Major League Baseball announced yesterday it has a drop-dead date for a 162-game season, and that date is this coming Monday. If baseball and the players don't come to an agreement by next Monday, opening day of March 31st is off. Major League Baseball said, and I'm quoting here, a deadline is a deadline. Missed games are missed games. Salary will not be paid for those games, unquote. Wilbon, do you think the owners are bluffing?
No. I mean, you know, look, both these sides in the context of labor negotiations, they're both pretty loathsome, I find. As a fan of baseball who wants to see baseball and gets tired of the beginning of spring training being hijacked, you know, every certain number of years, they're just, both sides are loathsome. I'm not going to take either one of these sides, Tony. I mean, the deadlines are just sort of arbitrary. So you mean to tell me if they came to an agreement on Tuesday, they couldn't play the whole season? See, that's just a lie. Now, you can also put a deadline out there to sort of force people to really get serious about negotiating. That's fine if you want to do that. But don't tell me the season can't start on time if you go 48 hours later. That's, once again, this is a lie. It's posturing. I find both sides loathsome in these situations. And I'm not going to say they're faking it. It's just that the owners are going to want to do what they want to do. The players aren't going to give an inch. We've had Jeff Passan tell us they hate each other. This is what we're stuck with.
Yeah, I don't find loathsome to be the right word that I want to use. I don't think the owners are bluffing, but I also think they're perfectly willing to do 162 games if, in fact, they reach an agreement. You know, I would point out two things. One is that the owners are locking out the players. So they're the provocateurs in this, not the players.
And it's always interesting what the lockout.
Yeah, it's always interesting what the players' response is. They had no response because they think this is artificial. I'm going to go back to my youth a little bit. Growing up right near New York City. Every time New York City was in negotiations with a union, this is what would happen. At some point, representatives from both sides, Mike, would say, we're going into a room, we're turning off the clock, and we're coming out with a deal. And they would sit there. And when they finally got a deal, what you found out is that the stuff they had screamed about a month before was suddenly back in the deal.
Yeah.
So as you're suggesting, there comes a point where if you're serious about this, you can play 162. You can open on March 31st if you want to. We're not there yet, and my theory about that is pretty simple. It's February, and it's cold all over the country, and when people look out their windows, they don't see spring on the horizon, so they don't feel a particular urgency. And also, Mike, there's no real games in February and March. So they're saying,
they
what are we talking about here?
Huh? Well, what are you talking about? They are here in Arizona.
No, that's Cactus League and Grapefruit League. They're not real games. But if players think that the owners aren't willing to go way south of 162, they're crazy wrong. Because the owners are in business.
Yeah.
And if they think it's better to play less, that's what they'll do. Let's take a break.
By the way, hope before we get to the break.
Yep.
What's wrong with the word loathsome? They're both in the context of labor negotiations.
I think it's too strong.
I don't mean come June 1st or October or sitting around having a drink with a hotel bar. But in the context of these negotiations, they're both loathsome.
Yeah, it's not a word I would use. Coming up, what do the Sixers need to know about playing with James Harden? We're going to ask Kendrick Perkins.
Okay, how about hateable? How about that?
Okay, that's better. Softer, a little softer.
We'll ask Perk just how seriously we should take my obsession, LeBron's flirtation with Cleveland. And these towns out here are saying,
tell Kornheiser,
we got money riding on this.
When they turn off the clock and they sit in the room until they get a deal, that's when they're serious. They're not there yet.
No.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In a story we broke in our first segment, the PTI investigative team has learned that the NBA season restarts tonight, makes it a perfect time to welcome in ESPN NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins. Here's the first question. James Harden is expected to make his Sixers debut tomorrow. You played with him early in his career. What would you tell the other Sixers about him in order to make this new thing work?
I would tell them, first of all, it's an honor to be on with the two legends, okay? That's first thing first. But I would tell them, don't listen to the outside stories. James Harden is one of the most unselfish players that I ever played with. He's a guy that could come right in and fit right in if he wants to be there. And we all know that he wants to be in Philly. See, people keep talking about, oh, he's going to take away from Joel's game and Joel numbers is going to be on the decline because now you got Harden. Well, I actually think he's going to elevate Joel's game along with others because he's embraced the point guard role over the last few years. And when James Harden have the mindset of attacking and making others around him better, that's better for everybody, including Joel Embiid.
Perk, I'm guessing you probably have Embiid. I know I do right now. This moment is the guy we would vote for MVP. But will there have to be sacrifices that Embiid will need to make to play with Harden? Will anything look different to us about what Embiid has to do now in these last 20-some games?
You know, the only adjustment that he has to make, it's an easy adjustment. It's now he's going to get easier looks, Wilbon. So those contested twos and those contested shots at the basket that Embiid had to go through before Harden got there, those are going to be wide open looks, wide open dunks because Harden put so much pressure on the defense. So I get it. like, it's an adjustment, but it's a great adjustment to be able to have easier looks at the basket. So if I'm Joel Embiid, I'm thrilled because I know James Harden is coming in with a pass-first mindset. Remember, when James Harden got to the Brooklyn Nets last year, we all were concerned on who was going to take a back seat, how was it going to work. When James Harden got there, he sacrificed the most, and he arguably was the best point guard last year in the NBA. I think we're going to see the same thing this year, the rest of this season with Joel Embiid.
You know, we can't have you on without getting the LeBron question in there, so I'm going to go straight to that right now. I have been on this mission. You've heard this already from me about LeBron's flirtatious with Cleveland, and there could really be something there. You played with him. You know him. Could you see him going back to Cleveland for whatever reason and being the center of that team's mission to get back in the title chase?
You know what? If you would have asked me this before the All-Star game, I would have told you probably not. But watching him be back in Cleveland, watching him with all the smiling, you saw joy. You saw like a guy that missed being home. And the way that the fans embraced him, I wouldn't rule that out. And me knowing Braun, like, everything is already planned out for him, but sometimes things could derail your plans. And I think looking at Darius Garland, looking at Evan Mobley, the culture that they have, his guy, Brandon Williams, getting a promotion up in the front office, I would not rule it out LeBron James returning to Cleveland in the near future to finish off his career.
That'd be great. You'd make Wilbon so happy. Let's ask you this. Kyrie Irving is another guy that you have played with. What is it going to take for Kyrie and Durant and Simmons to gel quickly?
I think it's going to fall on the shoulders of Kevin Durant and Steve Nash. I think their leadership skills, they have to have a leader in there. When you have a guy like Ben Simmons who has been through what he's been through as far as losing his confidence, you know, his mental health issues, you got to have a strong leader in there that's going to embrace him with open arms. I can't put that pressure on Kyrie Irving to be a leader because we don't know what direction he might steer Ben Simmons. But for Steve Nash and Kevin Durant, their leadership skills got to be through the roof, and especially KD. Vocally, you know, inviting him to things, for his dinner, to his house, to watch games, just kicking it with him, like making him feel comfortable, giving him that confidence on the floor, like that's going to be vital if they expect to get anything out of Ben Simmons, and especially if they need him to elevate his game to help them win a title.
Thank you, Kendrick. This was really good for us. Thank you very much.
Good to have you.
I appreciate y'all, legends. Thank y'all for having me. Anytime. I was trying to see what the hell was taking y'all so long.
We'll have you on next week, too. Let's take one last break. Still to come, why has the fit between Kemba Walker and the Knicks turned out to be so lousy?
And how big a deal was Providence's win over Xavier? 3 overtimes last night. I watched the end of that. Pretty exciting. Having Perk, Tony, this is great.
I like him. I'll tell you a story about him and a hummingbird brain at some point. But I'm working on the iPad today, and I hate him.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 46th birthday, Zach Johnson. Johnson is expected to be named captain of the United States Ryder Cup team that will play in Rome in 2023. Johnson has played in 5 Ryder Cups. He's been an assistant captain twice. Johnson won 2 majors, the 2007 Masters, 2015 British Open. He's a steady, accurate player. In fact, Johnson is the perfect type of player the Saudi Golf League should have gone after. He's a veteran, bit past his prime, popular with his peers. He has multiple majors, name recognition around the world. The problem is, if Zach Johnson had gone over to the Saudis, he would never be the Ryder Cup captain.
Tony, is there a golf course in Rome that everybody's dying to play? I mean, we don't talk about that. There are other countries where you talk about a famous golf course or three or five. Rome? I'm thinking about pasta. I'm thinking about food and eating. I don't know if I'm thinking about golf.
The food's good. That's why they want to play there. Happy anniversary, Kevin Porter. We continue with our recent theme of obscure assist records. Yesterday was Nate McMillan tying the rookie record for assists in one game. Today it is Porter setting the one-game assist record 44 years ago. While playing for the New Jersey Nets, Porter handed out 29 assists in a win over Houston. Porter's record stood for more than a dozen years until Orlando's Scott Skiles handed out 30 assists against Denver on December 30th, 1990. Porter, a small and flashy guard, played 10 seasons in the NBA with the Washington Bullets, the Detroit Pistons, and the Nets. Porter went to the NBA final in 1975 with the Bullets.
Yeah, Tony, you know, he's one of those players in a decade where people don't know who was great because the Celtics and Lakers did not dominate it. Well, maybe the beginning. And the Knicks, of course, were really good. But the Bullets, Kevin Porter was really good and important on those teams.
Yes, he was. Happy trails, Kemba Walker. Walker and the Knicks have agreed to shut him down for the rest of this season. Walker, a four-time All-Star and a native New Yorker who is very popular in Madison Square Garden, dating back to his Big East days at UConn, was pulled from the Knicks rotation by coach Tom Thibodeau back in November. Walker sat out 10 games, then returned impressively with 94 points in three games. But since then, injuries and poor shooting have limited Walker's time. Over his last 16 games, Walker has shot only 34% from the field, 27% from three. Walker's 31, and having cratered in Boston a couple of years ago, he may be near the end.
Tony, I was there for some of those UConn games, and Kemba Walker was great in college, and I really rooted for him to have a big splash and a successful return home to New York, one of the nicest people you ever meet. It hasn't worked out, but I'm still rooting for him. I am.
Really has. Let's go to the big finish. Michigan beat Rutgers in its first game without Juwan Howard. Your thoughts?
We talked about Juwan Howard's bad judgment. You know what his good judgment was? Hiring Phil Martelli, a guy that good to have on your bench. Juwan understood the importance of having him, and he's there now. Providence beat Xavier in triple OT. Big deal?
It was fun to watch. I don't know if it's a big deal, but Providence is good. They're good. Novak Djokovic lost in the Dubai quarters, so Daniel Medvedev will be the new number one on Monday. Your reaction?
Yeah, apparently we got to get used, Tony, to not having, you know, Federer and Joker and Nadal at number one. And Murray, it's just a new day. Canadians 4-0 under Martin St. Louis. Significant?
Can you do better than 4-0? Of course it's significant. They're 4-0 in four games. Come on. Last one, the Flames go for their 11th straight win tonight facing the Canucks. Who you got?
The Canucks aren't bad, 24-22-6, but I'm going to stay with the hot team and extending that winning streak to a dozen.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.